So then, since we don't have so much time, I'm going to go to the very last. And then, you know, kind of summarize before I open for some questions. At the end, we put the kind of summarize the whole teachings with that SS star, visual abbreviations, a line and illusion and drew and bubble, a dream and lightning and cloud, view all condition like that. So here again, it explains how all the condition phenomena, how the all the condition phenomena are empty of existing from its own side or by itself through different examples. The star, example through the star, you know, Chandrakirti mentions in his Middle Way, every phenomenon, every object have two realities, conventional reality and ultimate reality simultaneously. You know, there are two reality, one reality that appear to the, you know, non-dualistic non-dualistic exalted wisdom of Arya beings, and then another reality, you know, that appear to dualistic conventional mind. The ultimate reality is the one, the emptiness of the objects. That is the one that appear to, you know, directly to the mind of non-dualistic, you know, wisdom mind of the Arya beings. And then conventional reality is the same object that appear to conventional, dualistic conventional mind of ours. You know, so there are two realities. You know, so in terms of the stars, you know, the stars are there in the daytimes, but we cannot see it. We cannot see it. Even though it's there, we cannot see it. In the same way, you know, the ultimate reality is there, but to those sentient beings who have been contaminated by the ignorance, they are unable to see it. So even though it appears there's no star during the daytime, you know, even though it appears there's no star during the daytime, but that appearance is mistaken. That appearance is mistaken. The reality is there is star. The star has not gone somewhere else. They have not gone on vacations. They are still there. But due to certain conditions, such as light and other things, we are unable to see it. When I'm unable to see it, is there is unable to see it. So, you know, the appearance and the reality is different. The reality, the star is there during the daytime, but the appearance, it appears as they are not there. In same way, you know, even though all the objects appear to exist truly, inherently, from its own side by itself, but that is not how things exist. That's not how the thing exists. You know, the thing do not exist inherently, truly, by itself, on its own side, you know. Normally, you know, I like to, even though in Prasangika point of view, you know, ultimate existence, absolute existence, inherently existing, truly existing, independent existence, existing by itself, existing from its own side, they all have same meaning. No, they all have kind of same meaning. But normally I like to use the word existing from its own side more, because sometimes we feel, oh, it's not inherently existing, but still there is something there. Do you get it? Do you feel that way sometimes? So even though we say they are same, but like in our mind, how we perceive is that, oh, I can say it's not inherently because it's dependent on arising this and that, but still there is something there from this side. And so we cannot let go of this. There is something from its own side, the flower from its own side. And then as long as we have that, then the grasping is there, you know. So that is why I personally, you know, when I try to see non-existent from its own side, objectively from its own side. And I like to use that word more, you know, because sometimes, even though we know they are same, but sometimes we feel like they are not same in terms of our, the way we interact with them. So that was where we're asking the star. A visual abbreviations is, you know, example of due to some illness, you know, you start seeing hair falling, you know. You started to see your hairs falling. In my cases, maybe if it starts happening, probably I will know I'm hallucinating. Because there's no hair to fall, so I know that. But for you, you might think, oh, your hair is falling. You know. So that is what it is, visual abbreviation due to certain illness. You know, you started to see your hair falling, even though when there's no hair falling, you know, due to some illness and due to something in your eyes, you know, you started to. But again, that is the appearance, the way it appears to that person and the eye that has been, you know, impacted by the particular illness or whatever, you know, they started to see the hair falling, but in reality, there's no hair falling. It's not, that's not what is happening. So again, there is a disparity, different, between the reality and the appearance. In the same way, you know, even the objects seem to exist from its own side, but when we analyze deeply, you know, with that ultimate analysis, those objects are not to be found. So if it is not to be found within the objects, then you cannot say, then how can one say, you know, it exists from its own side, objectively. If something exists from its side, objectively, you should be able to find when you analyze in that object, within that object. And so therefore, you know, it's like a visual appreciation. A lamb, you know, all the conditioned phenomena, you know, lamb, you know, does not come as a lamb by itself. If we take some such as candlelight, butter lamps, you know, there's the containers, you know, and then you have the wick, you know, then someone make the wax or butters, you know, then they pour it, and then you light, and that is how the candlelight or butter lamps lights, you know. In the same way, even the butter lamp, sometimes when we see at the butter lamp, now I think when we kind of have been analyzing and talking about it, we can see all this coming together in some way. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I think we should have a break. Yeah. So I will finish the lamp. And even though it feels that lamb exists as a lamb by itself, but if you analyze, it doesn't exist by itself. It depends on so many all these conditions coming together to become lamb and function as a lamb that can light, bring light. In the same way, when we look at objects, everything appear to exist by itself as that object. But again, all these conditioned objects come into existence and function at that object by depending on many cause, conditions, factors, you know, just like that. So again, the appearance and the reality is not always same. The appearance that it gives is existing by itself. And then in reality, it is not able to exist by itself, but it depends on so many other cause, conditions, factors that need come together to be able to exist as that object and to function as that object. And another example, next one is in illusions. And illusions, you know, the magicians, due to certain, you know, trick, cause and conditions, then create something to trick our appearance, or, you know, so even though they might create, you know, some kind of objects, but whatever that object appear to our mind might not be that object, or the way they trick you from coming that object arising from sudden, you know, like from, let's say, the handkerchief, you know, handkerchief, yeah, for the handkerchief, you know, a bird comes.
Magicians,
you know. So that is the illusion they create, you know. So did the bird really come from that handkerchief, you know? It's not really, you know, they did some trick. And so that is like an illusion that they create that kind of illusions, trick. And there is certain appearance, but the reality is not the way it appear to us, the way we see it. And same way, you know, and due to the creation, that illusion, we believe that illusions, on the basis of that, then we get excited, you know, attached, we get, you know, different emotions, you know. But if you have the awareness that it is just a trick and it is just an illusion, you will have less affected. You will have less emotion of that, you know. So even though all the objects, you know, appear to have is real existence or truly existence, but if you try to check it, you know, And if you analyze more deeply, then you find they do not have truly existence, entity of truly existence. Hmm? I do, you know, I therefore is empty of inherent existence, truly existence. A do, you know, do looks morning before the sunrise, it looks some solid ice or something like that. The moment the sun comes out, very quickly it goes away. And such are the conditions of, such are the nature of conditioned phenomena, you know. The nature of conditioned phenomena are that from the very moment that it is produced, that very moment the decay has started, disintegration has started, the change has started. It's not like first they come into the productions being produced, and then the other cause come for its decay or its destruction. But from the very moment, even there's no other cause, new cause coming, from the very moment, the decay has started. It's in the very nature of that, you know. This flower get decay older and it fall down. It's not that it has not decayed before it started to fall down. It has already started decaying from the very first moment that is produced. You know, the decaying become more and more obvious, and then it fall down in that moment. But it, in terms of the process of decaying or disintegrating, has already started from the very beginning. So in that way, you know, is such a fragile, you know, all these conditioned phenomena. The very moment is produced, from the very moment, decaying or disintegrating has already started. And therefore, again, something that is a nature of something is coming into existence and coming into decaying and all of that, how can it be in hidden existence? If something's in hidden existence, it will be status, permanent, same all the time, never change, you know. It is something inherent nature, if that is the case. But because it's constantly coming into the existence due to the cause and conditions, and decaying due to the cause and conditions, you know, the decaying cause or condition is the very condition that produced, it is also very cause and condition of decaying as well. Of course, other factors, other conditions, make it to disintegrate, decay more quickly and more, and so on. But even without other condition, the very cause and condition that produce, that itself become the cause of disintegrating, decay. It's interesting. Sometimes we feel like it's decaying because some other cause and condition come later, isn't it? But the nature is not that, you know. Of course, when certain cause and condition later comes, it can make the decay more quickly and more faster and all that. But the disintegrating or decaying is already started from that very moment, because it's in the very nature of the very cause that produced that. And when we understand that, then we can also understand how these impermanent objects are so unreliable, unstable, and fragile. At the moment, we don't understand that the very cause that produces is also the very cause of disintegrating. So we feel if I can manage those other cause conditions that come later from decaying, I can manage from decaying, but we cannot. Of course, we can stop from decaying faster, you know, disintegrating faster, or disintegrating in very, very gross level where it started to collapse, We can stop from doing that, but still we cannot stop the disintegrating. That is why we need to keep on maintaining again and again, because it keep on disintegrating, decaying. That's why we have to put, keep on doing that. So that means that the burden that itself has the cause of. So therefore it's like do, and therefore it can't be truly inherent existence. Like a bubble, the same, you know. Bubble, you know, is very fragile, you know, very, you don't need something, you just touch very slowly and it bursts out, you know. And such is also the nature of conditioned phenomena. Also, one way of understanding is, it explained is, you know, the bubbles, you know, arise from the water and it dissolves into the water. It comes through the water, it dissolves into the water. In the same way, you know, our contaminated experience are like bubbles in the nature of, you know, sufferings. You know, the suffering of pain, clearly, they are painful, you know. The obvious pain, suffering, they are obvious, they are pain and suffering. Even the contaminated pleasant feeling, joyful feeling, you know, even then, you know, after some time, they cease, and then they change into something else. Then they change into some disappointment. They change into some dissatisfactions. Sometimes they change into something regretful, resentment, all of that. Even something that was feeling pleasant at the very beginning changes because contaminated experience. And the contaminated experience of neutral, even they act as a basis for others' sufferings. You know, so the suffering basis of all, you know. So then again, all these sufferings, you know, come from same source, you know. So it's like a bubble. And similarly, all conditioned phenomena are like bubble, unstable, unreliable. Doesn't last, and therefore cannot give lasting satisfactions by relying on that objects. The object cannot give you full satisfactions because by nature they do not last. By nature, they cannot sustain and last forever. And since they do not last, and they comes and goes and change, and therefore, you know, is not truly existent, inherent existence. A dream, like a dream, you know. In the dream, we dream of something good, and when we don't realize, even though we dream something good or bad, and, you know, when we don't realize it is a dream, then you get caught up in that. When something good happened, then you get so excited. So, you know, when you wake up, you might be still pumping your heart, you know. Or if you have nightmare, when you don't dream, when you are not aware you are dreaming, then, you know, even when you wake up, because you are struggling so much in that dream, nightmare, you know, you might be sweating, you know, heart beating, all of that. Why that happened? Because we are not aware you are dreaming. In the dream, when if you are aware you are dreaming, you wouldn't go through that. In the dream, we are not aware we are dreaming. And so we go through all this, you know, different fear, worry, emotions, and not only on mental level, it also on physical level, we can feel that. But once you realize it's a dream, then, you know, you don't have to experience those, you know, fear, what you have about the nightmare, you know, like chasing by a snake. So the same, all the objects appear so real to us. And not only they appear so real, we believe, see them as so real. On the basis of that, then, you know, we get caught up in attachment, aversion, liking, disliking, you know, and so forth. But if you try to analyze, you know, are they real as it appears as real, then we realize they are not real as it appears to us. They don't have entity or nature of truly existent or real existence. You know, they are false, you know, and so. And therefore, all those, our experience, all the object that we experience, the experience itself, the object we experience, all of them are like a dream. We do not exist real as it appeared to exist as a real. And so when you understand that, again, then we don't get caught up in those strong emotions. The way we get caught up at the moment. People realize they are like a dream. They are, even though they appear real bad, even though they appear real good, but when you realize they are not as, not real as, not real good as it appears, not real bad as it appears, then you don't have to have strong emotions of liking, disliking, attachment, aversion, and so forth. Lightning, you know, all these conditioned phenomena are like, you know, lightning. Lightning, when you think of lightning, you know, it's so quick, so quick. I was so surprised how quick they are. And one time, you know, in New Mexico, I was visiting one friend, Bishop. And he has a ranch, you know, that horse that it help people who have post-trauma disorders, especially veterans, because he himself was a veteran. And he has a very open spaces because of the horse ranch. And so, you know, during that day, you know, there was so much lightning, you know, big lightning. I was trying to get the pictures. I was waiting, and no matter how quickly I press it, I cannot. That is when I realized how quick they are. I was just waiting because it was happening constantly. So in the moment I press it, it's not there, it's gone. So I found so hard to get that, even though it was happening so constantly again and again. And that was when I realized how quick they are, how quick they are. So that is the, you know, And so, the same are in the nature of all the conditioned phenomena I mentioned before, you know. Even though normally we feel like the things come into existence then they abide, they remain for some time, and then they start to disintegrating kind of thing. That's how we feel like. But in reality, the moment they arise, disintegrating has already happened. In our naked eye, we cannot see that. In naked eye, we feel like it comes into existence. Then it remains, abide for how many years, you know, hours, days, weeks, months, and then it feel like then it is starting to decay. But the reality is the moment it has been produced, that moment is decaying. That is how quick it is, the decay. Even though for us it seems like decay started, you know, in terms of trees, in a fall, you know. You know, we think that, you know, in the spring the leaves come, summer, you know, then the leaves were there, and then in the fall they change the color, and then slowly it started to fall down. That's how we feel, because that is our naked eye can see only that level. Our naked eye cannot see the more subtle level that is happening inside. But on subtle level, the nature of that is from the very beginning, that very moment is produced, from that very moment the decay has started. There's not even time first exist, first producing and abiding and decaying in three process. Even though some of the Buddhist school of thought, like Babasika, they think that three process, but Prasangika and their understanding is there's no theory like that. From that moment is produced, that moment the case started simultaneously. And so that is like how quick it is for decay, disintegrating of the condition phenomena. And therefore, you know, there's no real substance to really hold to and to be attached to objects, because the decay has already started. And once it decay, you don't get so attached when that this flower started to lose the color, started to fall down, started to smell. You want to get rid of it as soon as possible. Do you feel you're attached? You don't feel attached to it. You want to get rid of it, you know? So at the moment we cannot see the decay, but once you are able to see decay, you will not be as attached as we are at the moment, you know. And so because it's dependent, and decay start because due to many cause and condition, productions coming into existence due to many cause and condition, and decaying also due to many cause and condition, and therefore it cannot be inherently independent existence, because it depends on many cause, condition, factors. And a cloud, and it's like a cloud, and cloud is a little bit similar like the land, you know. Cloud doesn't come by itself, you know, many cause and condition. One droplet and certain other moistures and certain other conditions have to come together to produce the cloud. And from the cloud, then the rain starts, you know. And even for rain to happen, you need to have certain conditions. Even the cloud, not every cloud can produce rain, you know. Especially in New Mexico, we see that quite. Because it's so dry. You see the rain coming from the top and not touching the ground, because there is not enough moisture to pull it down. You can see coming and vibrating in this, you know, within the ground, and that because it's so dry, so you see so clearly, you know, some areas, you know, it started to come and it doesn't come drop to that, because there is not enough moisture to pull it down. And yeah, I got to see the nature more when I went to New Mexico because it's such a big open space. And because it's such a big open sky, so you see so many things. And also, you know, it's like in the oceans, you know, endless. The sky is kind of endless. Or you feel like endless. You know? So that is where, you know, also with the rain, that is what that I've not seen before, you know, which I got. And so because so many causes and conditions need to come together to create a cloud, and then from the cloud to create the rain, you know, and therefore, again, it's dependent arising, and since it's a dependent arising, therefore it is not inherently existing. In the same way, all the conditioned phenomena are like the cloud, which is dependent arising, and depending on many cause conditions, therefore they are empty of inherent existence. And view all the compounded phenomena like that. And so, and the reason why we try to see in that way is so that, you know, we don't get misled and deceived by the appearance. So this is all different examples of, you know, how the appearance can deceive us. And so through that understanding, we also try to apply that in our everyday life. Whenever we see object, whenever we hear object, whenever we smell, taste, touch, or any object that comes in your mind, even though it appears there's real existence, true existence from existence on its own side, but reminding ourselves, even though that is the appearance, that's not the how thing exists. And so if we are able to remind that, even though that is the appearance, but that is not the how thing exists, the way it appears to our minds, so then we don't get easily deceived by them, misled by them. So therefore, when we are able to remind ourselves that, then, you know, then we don't get so easily attached to something that appears to exist really good from its own side. When something appears, you know, truly bad from its own side, you know, we don't get easily, immediately, strongly aversion to that if we are able to remind, even though there is that appearance, that is not how thing exists. You know, by reminding, it's just protection of my mind. It's merely imputed by my mind. There's no real from its own side. There's no truly real existing from its own side. It's merely imputed by my mind. It's merely labeled by my mind. It's merely designated by my mind. It's merely protected by my mind. If I'm able to see that, then there's less like this, like less strong attachment, aversion, and so forth. Okay, so that is. So I will take a couple of questions.
I guess when the comparisons between the 1,000 billion Ganges rivers, those metaphors where they're comparing the merit from those big numbers to the merit of remembering four lines of this sutra. Is it that the big number things, we're grasping at those to be inherently existent, so they're a big number, but we're still seeing them as inherently existent, but what's more than that is when you see emptiness? Is that sort of where it's coming from?
Yes, yes, yes. You know, by grasping, because not understanding the emptiness, by grasping we can make so much offerings. And still by grasping, by making offerings or practicing generosity, we create merit. There's no doubt about that. We still create merit. The more generosity, the more merit. The more offering, the more merit. But still, it is still contaminated by that grasping. But when we have understanding of emptiness, and when we offer when we are able to offer, or we are able to practice generosity by understanding the emptiness without any grasping, then the merit is unimaginable. Then there is no limit to that merit, because there's nothing that can limit that. At the moment, our merit is limited by that grasping and clinging.
Go one online and one.
Okay.
We have currently 33 people online, so they've been sending
okay.
questions through.
Okay.
Through
okay.
Days,
okay.
About six
so
questions.
Maybe 33 hours.
Yeah. Wait till you see the questions. All right. First one. If everything comes from each individual's mind, individual mind's label, when a group of people have a similar experience of something, such as the perspective of a world leader, is this because of group karma from the side of the observers rather than any inherent qualities in the object? Does anything come from the side of the object, or is it all from our minds?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there is nothing that comes from its own side or object. You know, from Prasanga point of view, there is nothing that can come into existence from the side of objectively, by objectively. So everything's come from the mind. In regard to the, yeah, when you talk about karma, you know, there's individual karma, there's collective karma. And within the collective karma, there can be different level of collective karma, the collective karma of the family, the collective karma of the state, collective karma of the world, you know, it can be smaller to bigger, call it different level of collective karmas, you know. And so definitely when we experience similar experience, so then that is the collective result of the collective karma manifesting. You know, due to the collective karma, you know, then certain cause and condition come together to create that being as the leader, who shouldn't be leader, but would become cause and condition create, because the collective karma is the factor that comes, and then many cause and conditions started to come together to create such enormous, in normally instantly it will not happen, but sometimes it happens, you know. People still cannot, even in that countries, in most part of the countries, can't believe that he got elected first time, and they can't believe that he got elected second time. How can that happen? It seems unimaginable. But there's some kind of energy, it's too strong. You know, sometimes you can't just explain how it's possible, but it happens because there's some kind of energy that is too strong and that cannot stop from happening in that moment. And so that is how the collective karma of the beings who are affected by him.
For people we admire, people who have maybe very good qualities, who are kind and generous to us, who benefit us, maybe we aspire to be like them. How can we avoid the attachment to them but still have those aspirations to emulate those good qualities that we sort of can't help but tie to those people?
Mm-hmm. You know, we want to be inspired by them and by inspired by their actions, qualities. So, you know, we maybe it is good to differentiate the qualities and the persons. Just as like when we are angry with someone, it's good to differentiate the person's action and persons. You know, we don't agree with that person's action because it's harmful, cruel, mean. So we don't agree with that. We take action to stop such action, at the same time not being upset with the persons, to be able to differentiate the action and persons, you know. Same way, I think when we are inspired and we want to emulate them, we want to follow them, like they become like a role model for us, then to differentiate persons and person qualities. If we differentiate person and person qualities, we want to follow that qualities, and at the same time not being attached to the persons. And I think that can be also helpful to differentiate that the person and person qualities. Sometimes if we don't appreciate those two qualities, and then again the person and person quality, then that can also lead us to some problematic sometime, you know. Just because we appreciate certain qualities and we want to have those qualities, we want to follow those qualities, but that doesn't mean that person is perfect in every way. And therefore, we should try to follow or do everything that he or she say or they do, you know, and to be able to differentiate those things. And in that way, I think can be more better and more healthy. Yeah. There is one. Yeah.
No. Please, Geshe-la, could you check my reasoning? So, if we take as a foundation that karma and mental continuum do not exist ultimately, but both tend to rely on time, which itself is not established ultimately, we cannot find it now, and the past and the future tend to be dependent on the now. As there is ultimately no mental continuum, does it follow that there is a timeless lack of separation between sentient beings and everything? I feel like I am stuck here.
Between sentient being and who?
And other sentient beings or sentient beings and phenomena. And
I still didn't get the question correctly.
If there is no inherent time, does that mean from an ultimate point of view, time disappears? Like there is timelessness and therefore no separation between beings.
No separations. Yeah, ultimately, you know, if we are talking from ultimately, then definitely there is no time. Time is just another relative conventional world or phenomena. So ultimately, there is no time, and also ultimately, there is no sentient beings. So ultimately, if there is no sentient beings, then we cannot talk about separate, not separate. So there is no concept of sentient being separate, inseparable from the ultimate point of view. We can talk about conventional point of view, whether there is separate, not separate among sentient beings, and all of that, but on convention, from ultimate point of view, ultimately in emptiness, or ultimately there is no sentient beings. So if there is no sentient beings, there is no basis to talk about sentient beings as inseparable or not separable.
Thank you, Geshe-la. My question, I want to roll back with the perishing of the Dharma at the end of the 500 or the 5000 or the 2000. And so my question, Geshe-la, is relating actually to Mahakasyapa at Kukuta Paragiri, who is sitting in a Vajra body in meditative equipoise. So we read that he's holding the upper garment of Shakyamuni Buddha. What is his role in the future when Maitreya comes there in the preservation and the purporting of the Dharma, taking it forward?
Of course, you know, as I mentioned, in different scriptures, the time of the degeneration or decline of the Dharma, there's many different timelines. And also, we don't know how accurate those timelines are. And as I mentioned before, upon some. Yeah. So, but also there is a story of that, you know, Kashyapa holding the, when the next Buddha, Maitreya Buddha comes, then to pass the robe that Buddha gave to Kashyapa and the bowl, and to pass to the Maitreyas when the Maitreya manifests in the world. So definitely, you know, when the Dharma of these Buddhas, Buddha, fourth Buddhas, Buddha Shakyamuni declined completely, then over the time, Maitreya Buddha, the future Buddha, the fifth Buddha will manifest and again shine the light of the Dharma. And at that time is when Kashyapa role is to offer to continue the torch, Olympic torch. So he's holding the Buddha's Olympic torch of the ropes and that. And so his job is to pass that. And it is way of success or is appointing a kind of, you are the next one to take over this Dharma, you know, to the sentient beings. So, yeah, that's all I can share.
In the context of this teaching, how do I pray to bring back my son and daughter's love? I don't know what I've done. I've provided them with almost everything, bringing them up.
Mm-hmm. I think sometime maybe we're attached to their liking us and their loving us. And maybe sometimes letting go of that, letting go of any expectation, them to like you, them to love you, them to act in certain way, them to appreciate your kindness, your upbringings. Let go of all that attachment to any of them, and you just try to be there as much as you can be to help them, and hopefully sometime that change. You know, sometime when we're attached to that, then sometimes even we are not aware, but there is sense of kind of pushing or demand or some, you know, sometimes indirectly subtle way or certain way that, you know, you should respect me, you should appreciate me, you should be grateful of me, and that sometimes that comes, even we don't say in words, sometimes it can come in our actions. And sometimes they can feel that, and that can also pull them away, you know, because those are something that we cannot force, you know, as much as we want. So I think when we let go of that, you know, let go of any expectation from them, and we just try to be there whenever they need help, and we try to be there. And in some cases, that can be the change in the change of energy, and that change of energy can kind of bring back. Yeah. And sometimes, you know, due to our past karma, that's what it is, we just accept it. You know, all you can do is try from your best. And if things doesn't improve, that is what it is. We should learn to be happy and okay with that. You know, maybe there is some purification for all of us to go through this process in this lifetime. There's some meaning, you know, some purifications to deal with that. And we all are clearing that whatever negative karma that we have. And so it's something good in long term, just as we talked before. In short term, it seems a little bit you know, unexpected and something, but in the long term, it's so again, you know, sometimes accepting that it's okay, you know, also can be helpful. Yeah. Other questions?
Do the Four Noble Truths exist relatively, but not ultimately?
Yes. Okay. Yes. That is all caution should come there. Oh, yes, yeah. No.
Which consciousness merely imputes that the aggregate or clear light is I?
Of course, the labeling done is by the mental consciousness. That is the job of the mental consciousness that labels this and that and all of that. But we don't label, neither the clear light mind is not the I, nor the consciousness the I. And so therefore, you know, of course, according to some of the Buddhist school of thoughts, you know, some of them believe the continuity or aggregate is the self. Some of them believe the six mental consciousness, the continuity of that is the self. You know, the mind only school believe the alaya, the mind basis of all is the self. But Prasangika refute all of them. If you use the same analysis, all of them cannot sustain such analysis, ultimate analysis. Therefore, all of them are not the self. So then what is the self? Self is merely imputed. Merely imputed on the basis of, you know, the aggregates. Yeah. Is that all? Okay.
So there's so much in this sutra, and whenever we have a recitation, I swear there's whole new paragraphs in there that I've never seen before. because there's just so much that it's just all new to me each time. So I'm wondering, as we're reciting it, does it matter if we don't understand what's going on?
Yes.
Yes, it doesn't matter, or yes, it matters.
So it depends on how you take on. of course, if we understand, it will have a little bit more profoundness. But even if you don't understand, reciting has benefit. You know, so even if we don't understand, each of them as clearly, but as long as you understand the basic theme of this teaching, the practice about this, the middle way, you know, and each of them basically is saying is not inherent, is empty of inherent existence. At the same time, it exists on conventional level. And so that seems to be the whole with the different objects, you know, but that is the main theme of that. And to be able to see the emptiness and the appearance in all of those different objects. As long as we have that kind of understanding of that main theme, so even if you don't understand word by word each of them, it's not a... not a big deal, and you still get benefit. Yeah. So again, you know, as you see in many of the FMD books, as advised by the Kaji Lama Sabha Rinpoche, you know, and so you try to do that, you know. Due to all the virtue and the marriage, which are empty from its own side, which are created by others and oneself, which all are empty from its own side. May I and all sentient beings who are empty from its own side. Achieve fully awakened state, which is empty from its own side. In order to liberate all sentient beings which are empty from their own side. Therefore, there is nothing to hold on, cling on, grasp on. Nor the self, nor the result, nor the merit, nor the sentient beings. All are totally empty of existing from its own side.
Geshe-la, thank you so very much for a jam-packed weekend and managing to put so much into just a few short hours and really make this most mysterious sutra very accessible. And so many aha moments of like, oh, of course, why didn't I think of that when you were saying it? It became so clear. But also something I've completely missed in all the other years is how much heart there is in this emptiness teaching. So thank you so much for that.
Thank you.
And thank you, everyone, for joining. And thank you, everyone, Miffy, Rosemary, Tracy, everyone's who's helping to the center and helping all the volunteers, everyone's to run the centers and also making my visit enjoyable and always happy to be back and to share a few days. And also I wanted to say, you know, from all the offerings, I will be using some of them towards a fund or foundation I just started to help to scholarship to the education for the children in India and Nepal, mostly. So, yeah, so thank you, everyone. Thank you.
Many, many heartfelt thanks from online people.
Can heart feel?
Heartfelt. They say they feel heart.
Yes, thank you. I'm just making it silly. Thank you, everyone. Thank you on the Zoom, everyone, whoever is there. Thank you.
And Geshe-la, have a wonderful retreat. And please, will you come back then afterwards and, you know, teach us again?
Yeah.
Oh, good.